Service, National Radio Club.
Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for February 2003. This is issue number 215, and I'm your host, Fred Vobey, the publisher of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. Our address is 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. Telephone number is 419-228-6223. If you're on the internet, you can send me email at fredv, that's F-R-E-D-V, at nrcdxas.org. And if you live in the United States of America and would like to become a member of the DX Audio Service, the cost of a subscription is $28. To members in Canada, the subscription rate is $32, and to Europe and elsewhere, it's $40. Those prices are also the renewal rates. Tapes are sent via first-class mail, and you get to keep the cassettes. And if you'd like to subscribe, make a check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned, or you can log on to our website at www.nrcdxas.org and just click on the join icon, and you can pay with your credit card through PayPal.
Hi, everybody. Jerry Starr with another edition of AM Switch from the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News magazine. February tape starts with reference number 550 and these call letter changes. On 770, KNWX Seattle, Washington becomes KTTH. That old call will move up the dial just a bit. 1070, the news station in Verndale, Minnesota will be KVKK. 1210, WBSG in Auburndale, Federal Way, Washington will become KNWX. 1300 WCOZ St. Albans, West Virginia becomes WJYP. 1340 KAVC in Mojave, California will be KTPI. 1420 WCLV Cleveland, Ohio changes to WRMR, the call that used to be on 850 in Cleveland. On 1490 WDWZ in West Point, Georgia becomes WRLA. And on 1570 KHPN in Loveland, Colorado changes to KSXT. Some new stations have been applied for on 530 in Pine Bluffs, Wyoming, on 880 in Florida City, Florida, and on 1160 in Cleveland, Missouri. And four new stations have been granted to the AM band, 880 in Midland, Texas, 2,000 watts daytime, 500 watts night, different patterns, 960 in Golden Gate, Florida, 500 watts day and night, different patterns, 1490 in Lebanon, Tennessee, 1,000 watts day and night, non-directional, and on 1640, a new X-band station granted in Biloxi, Mississippi, 10,000 day, 1,000 night, a non-directional antenna. Several applications of interest on 1020 WNTK in Newport, New Hampshire. They'd like to move back to where they used to be, 1010 kilohertz. They will increase their power to 10,000 watts daytime and have a 37-watt night power. 1220 CFVM in Amqui, Quebec will move to 99.9 FM. 1260 CBRU in Squamish, British Columbia, they will move to 1270 kilohertz. And on 1400 KIGO St. Anthony, Idaho, they'd like to move to 1420 kilohertz. Well, they will have 50,000 watts in the daytime, only 16 watts at night, non-directional. And that, of course, is if that is approved. Grants of interest on 620 CJCI Prince George, British Columbia. They'll be moving to 97.3 FM. On 970 CBZ in Fredericton, New Brunswick moves to 99.5. 1080 CKSA Lloydminster, Alberta moves to 95.9. 1230 CKTK in Kitimat, British Columbia moves to 97.7. And on 1340 CJLS Yarmouth, Nova Scotia moves to 95.9. Under otherness on 640 CFOB in Fort Frances, Ontario, this station now running a tape loop, sending listeners to their FM frequency of 93.1. 640 will be gone before you know it. 790 CFAN, Newcastle, New Brunswick, their construction permit for 99.3 FM is on the air. Their AM facility may already be off the air by the time this tape reaches you. 1130 WCTM, Eaton, Ohio is back on the air. 1170 WKNL, St. Augustine, Florida has returned to the air. 1210 KKHI Laramie, Wyoming has gone silent. 1320 KAWC in Yuma, Arizona is back on the air. 1400 WFOR, Hattiesburg, Mississippi has returned. 1410 WIQR in Prattville, Alabama has gone silent. 1440 WFNY, Gloversville, New York. This brand new station is now on the air with an oldies format. 1480 WISL, Shamokin, Pennsylvania has also returned to the air. 1520 KDYS, Lafayette, Louisiana is silent. And on 1550 WURP in Braddock, Pennsylvania has returned to the air. Moving on to the next edition, these call letter changes on 650 WJLT in Ashland, Massachusetts becomes WSRO. 710 KUET, Black Canyon City, Arizona becomes KMIA. On 710 KDIS in Los Angeles, California becomes KSPN. That's half of a swap. 840 KABN, Long Island, Alaska, changing to KCKC. That's also part of a very long-distance swap. 960 WAAK, Dallas, North Carolina, becomes WZRH. 1110 KSPN, Pasadena, California, they become KDIS. 1160 WMVI, Mechanicville, New York, becomes WABY. On 1170 WZUR in Ponce, Puerto Rico, becomes WLEO. 1320 WDEP San Juan, Puerto Rico, changing to WSKN, part of a big swap in Puerto Rico. On 1350 WTZK Black Mountain, North Carolina, becomes WWRN. 1430 WRDN Duran, Wisconsin, becomes WQOQ. 1450 WHOH Huntsville, Alabama, changing to WTKI. 1470 WSRO Marlboro, Massachusetts, becomes WAZN. 1480 KCKC Concord, California, becomes KABN, the call that came down the coast from Alaska. And on 1490 WZUR Ponce, Puerto Rico, becomes WDEP. One application of interest on 1370 KJJL, Cheyenne, Wyoming. They would like to move up a notch to 1380. And under otherness, we find that on 1600 WNGA in Nashville, Tennessee, has gone silent. Moving on to reference 553, no call letter changes. One grant of interest on 950 KNFT in Bayer, New Mexico, goes full-time by adding 224 watts at night. And under otherness on 1030 WAUL in Brentley, Alabama, a construction permit, a long existing construction permit for a new station, has been canceled. The call has been deleted, so you can scratch WAUL 1030 out of your log. 1160 WYNS Lehighton, Pennsylvania has gone silent. The station is for sale. No pending buyers yet. 1400 WEEP in Virginia, Minnesota is also silent due to a transmitter fire. May not return to the air unless a new owner is found. And on 1670 KHPY Moreno Valley, California, this brand new X-band station is now on the air. And finally, moving to reference number 554, call letter changes, actually a swap in Florida. 640 WLVJ Royal Palm Beach, Florida becomes WJNA, and on 1040 WJNA in Boynton Beach, Florida becomes WLVJ. Several grants of interest, mostly Canadians moving to FM on 550 CKPG Prince George, British Columbia to 99.3, 560 CKNL Fort St. John, British Columbia to 101.5, and on 830 CFJR Brockville, Ontario to 104.9, and a grant to WRCA in Waltham, Massachusetts on 1330. They'll change their city of license to Watertown, Massachusetts. And under otherness on 590 WLVA Lynchburg, Virginia, this silent station has returned to the air. Presently, they're relaying WOWZ, the 1280 station in Appomattox. On 900 WWLK, Eddyville, Kentucky has gone silent. 1440 WMDJ in Martin, Kentucky, this station is off the air. The license has been canceled. The AM call has been deleted. That call still exists on their 100.1 FM station. And on 1570 WKBH in Holman, Wisconsin, this station is silent pending a sale. And that wraps it up for February. About 30 days from now, we'll see you with more radio stuff. Now let's head south to John Bowker.
Well, thanks once again, Jerry, and hello everyone from the sun coast of Florida on the Gulf of Mexico, where I modestly tune the dials from time to time. Today, we're going to be listening in on the 780 kilohertz channel. This is another of the U.S. clears that's, it's real strange though. You know, when they were passing out the allocations back in 1941, they gave 780 to Chicago. And on that fateful day in March, they permitted just two stations on 780, WBBM and, where else do you think? San Diego maybe, or Portland, Maine, or Portland, Oregon?
They authorized WBBM for a full 50,000 watts, non-directional, just like it is today. And the other station, they gave 10,000 watts day and night in Lincoln, Nebraska. Yeah, KFAB it was called. And now, to finish the picture, I must tell you that those two stations had been sharing the 770 dial position for some time before the big frequency switch in 1941. But still seems to me they might have used a little bit more imagination spreading out the signals back then. Then 1947, the dam burst, and we find 780 occupied by new stations in Alabama, North Carolina, Oklahoma, and Virginia. We're going to tune in on each of those and a bunch more today, but there is one U.S. station at 780 I don't have a recording of. You know, I've spent a lot of time in the state of Maine with recorders running, but the only recordings I have from Runford, Maine, are 3 years old, and therefore they're all at 790 on the dial. And we're going to be hearing that what happened was the station in Runford moved from 790 down to 780. Maybe next summer we'll go get it if we have a chance. But since we always like to start at the upper right on everybody's map, I'm going to do just that today. Only this time we're going to jump into the Atlantic time zone as we begin the February 2003 DX Audio Service Travelogue.
CFDR 780 AM Halifax is 780 Kix, classic country.
Halifax, Nova Scotia. Site of the loudest explosion in the Northern Hemisphere's history, as a matter of fact, happened in 1917, if memory serves me correctly. Well, let's move along. Let's see. We don't have Rumford to push around, as I mentioned, but we'll move south into the District of Columbia. And that's where I was when I made this next recording from my office in Washington in 1978.
WAVA Arlington, WAVA FM, Arlington, Washington, a service of Arundel Communications.
WAVA News time is 9 o'clock. Talks between Egypt and Israel are broken down.
Man, some things just never change, do they? But WAVA did change. It was a 5,000-watt daytimer, and at least that didn't change. But by 1984, I caught this ID at Union Station in Washington while waiting for the Metroliner to take me home one evening.
Afternoon, 5 o'clock, and time now for Dynamic Christian Living.
Yes, WABS. Oh, and WAVA, the one I played you a moment ago, it moved up the dial a ways. Well, to 105.1. I guess that's quite a ways. We'll continue down Interstate 95 now, right into North Carolina.
Local news has been presented by Tommy Landon's Golf and Chevron, located on the 200th block of West Broad Street in Dunn, your BF Goodrich Tire headquarters.
It's 32 degrees at 8 o'clock, and you're listening to WCKB 780 AM in Dunn, North Carolina.
They're running 1,000 watts in Dunn, I see. But over across the state in the Greenville-Spartanburg market, there's a 10,000-watt daytimer operating.
Doa Lawson in Quicksilver and Jesus I Never Shall Forget. WWOL Forest City, it's 10 o'clock.
USA Radio Network News, this is Melanie Brown. Now that the crewmen aboard Mir have repaired two oxygen generators, they're trying to figure out why they can't get some of the space station's solar panels pointed at the sun.
Boy, it's always something, isn't it? I can remember when WWOL was up in Lackawanna, New York. That was my first recording of it, in fact. Well, now, your log may show a station in Mulberry, Florida at 780 on the dial, but since that's only 21 miles from where I'm sitting, I can positively guarantee that that station is not yet on the air. So, let's go up to state number 17 on the travelog list and hear what Dale Hamm picked up in Lineville, Alabama recently.
Saturday, April the 27th. That's next week, not today, next week. The First National Bank time is 3 o'clock. First National Bank invites you to open a savings account and watch your money grow. First National Bank in Ashland and Lineville, member FDIC.
95 Country, WASZ Ashland, WZZX Lineville Ashland. NBC Radio News, I'm Ron Kilgore.
You know, that's one of the simulcasting stations of which we hear fewer and fewer every month or two. They repeat the country music from their FM sister. WZZX is running 5,000 watts, it says here in the log. Daytime only, of course. And that's all true for this next station right there next to the state capital of Mississippi.
Just for going show!
Time rock and roll. Oldies, 780 AM WIIN, Ridgeland, Jackson.
Tune them in after crossing the Mississippi River right near Vicksburg, so they get out okay when they're on the air. That was, in 1998. Now, if you go up into Tennessee and drive along the interstate about halfway between Nashville and Knoxville, you hear Cookeville.
Chicago, we'll do that right after this break, plus your calls are coming up again at 800-282-2882. So don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the EIB Network.
780 WPTN Cookeville, Monterey, Gordonsville.
Hello, my friends. Well-known chainsaw expert Rush Limbaugh here with great news from Poland.
So now he's a chainsaw expert, too. And now as we move northward, there are no 780 stations in the central Midwest. Kentucky, Ohio, Michigan, Indiana. Let's see, though. Illinois, they have one.
It is Thursday, the 27th. I'm Sherman Kaplan, and here are the top stories on WBBM AM at 10:30 in the morning.
Okay, you know, that jingle for WBBM was recorded in 1984, 19 years ago. And if you go into the Windy City today, here's an ID that Fred captured for the travelogue.
News Radio 780 WBBM.
Breaking story of
The electric typewriters, they once called themselves on another ID. Well, quickly, let's move along now to the next 780 station in our sequencing in Oklahoma.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy skies and a temperature reading of 96 degrees in downtown Stillwater. I'm Andy Hawks for KSBI News.
We're playing the music that never goes out of style or time. Memory music on 780 AM, KSBI.
Okay, that's one of those mystery stations we have from time to time. 250 watts, daytime only. It broadcasts mostly sports and news, according to the log, but they have some music thrown in, too, of course. It's a town, this is Stillwater we're talking about 40,000 people, and their main claim to fame? Well, it's home to the National Wrestling Hall of Fame. Yes, indeed. Well, now let's move along to the hometown of a fellow my wife and I used to watch in our bedroom night after night on the television.
AM stereo. This is WJAG Norfolk. Mutual News.
That came from 1992, and it occurs to me some of our newer listeners might not remember that Johnny Carson was King of the Knights. He referred to Norfolk as his hometown. We move next to the land of Red Rocks and Indians in the middle of Arizona, where we have Montezuma's Rock Castle in Verde Valley, Cottonwood, and the hometown of KAZM.
Make the difference. This is KAZM Sedona.
AP Network.
Network News. I'm Daryl Hawley. President Clinton says approval of a health care reform plan by a Senate committee is a big step for one of his top goals as president.
Well, we still have problems with health care, don't we? You know, that's just lovely territory, a couple of hours south of Flagstaff. But now, as we head off to the west, here's an enormous voice at 780 covering the whole western part of the United States, and I imagine probably is an easy catch in Hawaii, too. Their night pattern is at 50,000 watts and has no energy heading off to the east. Let's see now. First, from 1972.
You're listening to Saturday Morning Opera from your fine music station, KCRL, Reno, Nevada. 78 on your AM radio dial.
And then in 1989.
From ABC News, I'm Kate Dorden.
Okay, Kate, and let's see, today in Reno, Nevada.
Our effort to keep you informed and get you involved in the fall election. That means voting. All during the Reno Rodeo, KOH will give you the chance to register to vote. Just stop by our broadcast booth at the rodeo. Get involved. Have a say in what happens. Vote 96 with Super News Talk 780 KOH.
Reno's legendary news talk leader. This is Super News Talk 780 KOH. KKOH Reno. The more you listen, the more you know.
It's 10 o'clock.
I'm Dorothy McIntyre.
You know, in fact, I made that recording in Sacramento, California. The pass over the hills into Nevada was closed, so I had to settle for what you heard there. We had to head off into Alaska for our last U.S. station on today's travelogue. Oh, only it was really Werner Reutsch who taped this one for us.
And now, more music from KNOM Nome. Yours for Western Alaska. This is KNOM Nome.
Okay, at the beginning today, we started in Canada, so to wrap up the 780 travelogue, let me show you what Ron Getshire sent us last year from the Caribbean.
You have been listening to Paul LaBolle on behalf of my co-man here, Joe Jack, and myself.
Yes.
Paul on the ball.
Have a nice weekend.
Have a nice weekend. Have a great sporting weekend. We'll see you tomorrow at the AO Shelly Recreation.
It's 5 minutes past the hour of 6 in the Virgin Islands, and here's a little something from Odinga called White Powder.
Isn't that great? ZBVI in the British West Indies. Well, let's see. Contributors to the 780 collection have been Mark Strickert, Dale Hamm, Mark Durenberger, Josh Owens, Werner Reutsch, Fred Vobey, Ron Getshire, Scott Feibusch, wife Linda, son John, and I even threw in a couple there myself. And next month we're going to be facing our first regional channel in nearly 2 years, so we'll see how we can squeeze 5 hours of IDs into a 15-minute program segment. Should be fun. Oh, and speaking of should be, the next voice should be Bruce Conti from the Granite State. Bruce?
Hello, DXers. I'm Bruce Conti, and this is the DX Digest. If you listen very carefully, you might have heard Lima's News Radio, 1150 WIMA, Lima, Ohio, as caught here in southern New Hampshire while participating in Ginny Loopy's Frequency of the Week DX Challenge. Ginny Loopy is the domestic DX Digest East columnist for the National Radio Club's DX News magazine. The intent of the challenge is to have everyone listening to the same frequency during the same period of time, thus providing a snapshot of what reception is like on a particular frequency from various locations for comparison. And of course, for fun, in the form of a little friendly competition to log the most stations on the frequency. 1150 was the first challenge frequency, and I was somewhat surprised to receive WIMA and thought Fred and the rest of the gang back in the Sheetrock announcer booth at the DXAS Lima headquarters would be interested in hearing it. Frequencies scheduled for this month are 1280 and 910. How about some DXAS members joining the fun? Report via the Musings line or by cassette tape to me for the DX Digest. The address is 46 Ridgefield Drive, Nashua. That's Nashua, New Hampshire, 0302-1174. Or I can receive real audio and Windows Media Player files via email at bacnti@aol.com.
790 BFAN.
For many DXers, receiving a distant radio station is only half the fun. The other half is obtaining an official verification of reception, or QSL, from the radio station. While this indeed has become more challenging over the years, what with rented engineers, corporate ownership, and skeleton staffs, it's still possible to get your reception confirmed. If you'd like to give it a shot, here's a model report to follow. I'm going to go through an example reception report to radio station CFAN. This would be typical of how I compose a reception report letter. I like to use a semi-formal business layout beginning at the top right-hand corner with my address. Then left justified the date, skip a line, and the address of the radio station. Skip a line. Now the opening. Dear radio station CFAN, or if you have the name of an official at the station, then it might be Dear Mr. or Mrs. Smith, Chief Engineer, Station Manager, Music Director, or whatever the title might be. The first paragraph serves as an introduction or opening. I'll provide some background, such as, who am I, and what's the purpose of this letter? For example, I am a radio enthusiast who enjoys listening for distant AM broadcast stations. On the evening of January 14, 2003, I had the pleasure of receiving CFAN on 790 kHz. The following is a report of reception in the hope that you would be able to provide a confirmation. First, here are some details of what was heard so you may verify that it was indeed CFAN received. That's it, the introductory paragraph. In the next paragraph, I'll describe the basic format in one or two sentences, indicating that I heard news talk, sports play-by-play, or 70s oldies, for example. Then I'll list specific elements of what was heard in bullet form. The specifics should be verifiable information, indicating the exact time and exactly what it was. Use the same time as the radio station. Don't use UTC. This is local radio, not shortwave. There's a good chance that the person reading your letter will have no clue what UTC might be anyway. Verifiable information will be station slogans, nicknames, the names of local newscasters, DJs, or talk show hosts, station promos, and local commercials. Network stuff should only be mentioned in your description of the basic format, since it could have just as easily been heard on your local station carrying the same network. It's not verifiable. Same goes for music. Stations don't normally keep a log of what song was played when anymore. Here are some bullets from CFAN reception.
Storm warning.
There's a storm about to hit the Miramichi. This Saturday, watch the expansion Miramichi Thunder of the New Brunswick Cooperatives Junior B Hockey League as they host the Woodstock Subway Slammers. Game brought to you by Checkpoint Pontiac. All this takes place at the Miramichi Civic Center. Game time, 8 p.m. Don't miss out on a fast...
Time, 4:20 p.m. Ad for Miramichi Thunder versus Woodstock in New Brunswick Junior B Hockey League play at the Civic Center.
Hear the thunder boom this Saturday at the Civic Center.
Come to Renault's Gift Boutique for all the decorating ideas you'll ever need. They have the perfect finishing touches to brighten up any space. A new gift boutique.
Then an ad for Renault's Gift Boutique on King George Highway.
Stop in today and see their wide selection at 2610 King George Highway in the former and detail building, just below the Centennial Bridge. They're open 7 days a week. Telephone 624-9876.
Come and glide to a different beat at the Miramichi Recreation Department's Adult Skating Party on Friday, December 13th. Come out and have some fun on ice from 8 to 10 p.m.
Time, 4:21 p.m. Announcement of Miramichi Recreation Department Adult Recreation Skating Party.
Chocolate will be served and door prizes will be given out. Don't miss out on the fun at the Miramichi Civic Center Friday, December 13th from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. And don't forget your skates.
Ho, ho, ho! Christmas is here again, and it's time to get a new computer. Well, Supershine Computers is the place to go. They have all the
followed by an ad for Supershine Computers in downtown Miramichi.
It's Supershine Computers, 836-2438.
Next time, 4:22 p.m., station identification. If it's happening in Miramichi, you'll hear it first on 790 CFAN, and then back to the music.
If it's happening in Miramichi, you'll hear it first on 790 CFAN.
And those are what I would consider to be verifiable bullets. Now paragraph 3. Here I like to tell something about my location and the equipment used for reception. If you're writing to the chief engineer, then you can get technical, but I like to keep it simple. I'll use some technical terms, but won't overdo it. For example, CFAN was received at my home monitoring station in Nashua, New Hampshire, located about 40 miles north of the city of Boston. I used some specialized equipment for long-distance reception. CFAN was received on the Drake R8B General Coverage Communications Receiver, an outdoor antenna system specifically designed for directional reception was used. It consists of a 50 by 75 foot vertical loop of wire with two taps favoring east and west reception. The signal is fed into a tuned LC tank phasing unit to aim the reception in specific directions, similar to how an AM radio station can tune its antennas to aim the signal. Overall reception of CFAN was fantastic, a great signal, but with some interference from WSKO Providence, Rhode Island, also broadcasting on 790. Now the last paragraph. This is where I'll make the specific request for verification of reception. For example, if possible, I would like an official verification of my reception of CFAN. I have included a stamp and $1 to cover postage. Thank you for taking the time to reply. I look forward to hearing from you. I hope this report has been of interest to everyone at CFAN. Best wishes for your continued success. Sincerely, and that's it. Note the politeness of the letter. Never demand verification. Radio stations are not required by law to reply. They are doing it as a favor to you. Also note that I don't use SINPO codes or ham radio Q codes. Again, this is not shortwave. Lastly, I try to limit the report to one side of an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper using 11 or 12 point type. Yes, the letter is typewritten. Expect that the station personnel aren't going to have the time to paw through a voluminous report, and they won't have the time to attempt translating your chicken scratch handwriting either. Keep it short and simple.
790 CFAN.
Radio station mailing addresses can be found in the NRC AM Radio Log, the World Radio TV Handbook, and at radio station web pages on the Internet. Email reception reporting is becoming more popular. Some stations will reply with a nicely formatted letter, including a logo or letterhead in an attached HTML or word processor file. But I still like to get a letter via regular mail. Often a radio station will include extras like bumper stickers, fridge magnets, coverage maps, and business cards. Now, go get them, and don't forget to report your QSL successes here on the DXAS. More next time on the DX Digest. I'm Bruce Conti, 73 and good DX.
This is Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service, and today we're at the Mason, Ohio transmitter site of WLW Cincinnati, the nation's station. We're chatting with Paul Jellison, Regional Engineering Services Manager for Clear Channel Communications. Paul actually makes his home here at the transmitter site in furnished quarters adjacent to the WLW transmitter building. Now, in future columns, we're going to explore the WLW transmitters and talk about the 500,000-watt transmitter WLW operated in the 1930s. For now, because this is so topical, we want to focus on WLW's recent participation in the in-band on-channel, or rather, I guess we should say in-band adjacent channel, digital broadcast tests. We wanted to secure Paul's opinion on the merits of IBOC from his participation in the tests at WLW 700.
Yes, in-band on-channel, yes. We, WLW did some, has done two series of tests with Ubiquiti, and I'm, be quite honest, not real thrilled with what I've seen as of yet. I think it's probably going to kill the skywave coverage of the station, and that doesn't seem to make a lot of difference to certain people. But I know that it has not gone unnoted that the problems it causes, and I'm a little concerned with what's going to happen to the AM band if IBOC comes into full being. Even in daytime, there's going to be stations that are 20 kilohertz away from another one that is going to be,
right,
be causing problems.
Let's separate you from your position at Clear Channel and just talk to you as an engineer, because I think that's probably a better thing.
Yeah.
And we're getting your opinion as an engineer, not as a Clear Channel employee.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And you know, I think from reading some of the bulletin boards that there's a lot of concern about adjacent channel interference from this test and from WOR.
Absolutely.
Is it real?
Oh, yeah, it's real. I mean, if you look at it, you know, if you look at it with a spectrum analyzer, the problem is there's a mask that you're allowed that was...
The famous NRSC.
Yes, the NRSC mask says that you have to be down so many dB and out at a certain distance. And if you're running an analog audio, you know, a standard AM modulated station, even running high density, heavily compressed modulation, you are going, you know, and running the right filtering, you're going to be down at a specific level. The problem is the DAB carriers, from what I've seen, is the DAB carriers are constant at an injection level, and they are a constant hiss, whether somebody's saying something or not. And that is what, and even though it meets the NRSC mask, that's what the problem is. The other problem is the major problem right there.
So statistically, it is valid if you just took a snapshot of that energy at any given moment. And if I recall, that's what the NRSC curve was built on, was a statistical average of energy that was going to be out there, X amount of kilohertz from the carrier. What you're saying is because this digital energy is there all the time,
yes,
it upsets that whole...
Yes, yes.
So maybe the mask has to be redesigned.
The mask is an analog mask.
Right.
Not, was never designed to have the digital carrier imposed in there. And I think that, you know, I think it's going to kill or severely limit skywave coverage. It's basically going to take everything back to where if you don't have a city grade signal, i.e. 25 millivolts per meter, you're going to suffer ill consequences from your adjacent channel station.
What, and you told me earlier you've got dozens of stations you're responsible for, presumably of all power levels. What are the advantages of IBOC to a WLW 50,000 watts or a 1 kilowatt or class 4?
Well, obviously the improvement in quality is going, you know, people that listen to radio are, they don't understand what they're hearing. All they know is that FM sounds better than AM. They don't care why, they don't know why. Frankly, it's not their business to know why. but they know. And so the digital audio being transmitted on the AM spectrum will be better. Quite honestly, some of that is the fault of the radio manufacturers, because I've got a radio in my office that, listening to WSAI playing music in wideband mode, sounds almost every bit as good as an FM station. So a lot of it has to do with the fact that the radio manufacturers have clamped the AM radios down to where they won't respond to adjacent channels.
To get rid of noise.
Yes. Yeah. And we all know that the AM band is a poorly designed band. It was never designed for the modulation levels or the number of stations that are on the band. The ideal thing to do would be to throw the band out and start over. That would never fly.
So for a station like WLW, that is a talk station that delivers an incredibly solid, high-fidelity, admittedly mono signal, what are the advantages of digital for you?
Well, the advantages will be, I think, it will give the latest gadget freak, you know, something to hang his hat on. From a quality standpoint, it'll actually be a degradation, because the analog product is going to be band limited to 5 kilohertz. And the reason you band limit your audio to 5 kilohertz is to make room for the digital carriers.
So you're saying that your presumably now 8 or 9 kilohertz of audio,
yeah,
is going to be limited to 5. So immediately you're going to do a disservice to the existing listener base.
To somebody with a wideband radio. But now, that being said, I drive a 99 Jeep Cherokee. When we went to Eibach, I got in my Jeep and I drove to lunch that evening, and the guys were here working on the Eibach, and I finally said, guys, I've got to go eat, I'll be back, you know, in a little bit. And when I came back, they had the signal on the air, and listening in my Jeep, you couldn't tell a difference.
Okay.
Because the radio is already so band limited.
Right.
So it's people with the right radio are definitely going to hear a hiss, both on, you know, under the actual analog signal. You know, with a wideband radio, you will hear the hiss. A tunable radio, yes, you'll probably hear the hiss, especially if you're not tuned right on channel.
Right.
Those are some of the drawbacks. The pluses are, once there is an established base of radio listeners, the quality of the signal will be on par with FM. Now, obviously, we're a talker. There are, you know, it wouldn't mean that much to us. The other interesting thing is the coverage area that the iBox signal, the actual amount of power that you need to cover the same distance, is significantly less than the analog.
So once you can remove the analog carrier, as it were, you think you can, with the same amount of RF, you're going to get out farther than you are with analog?
If it ever comes to the point to where they decide to shut off analog and go straight digital, and they could center that stuff up on channel and go more like the Radio Mondial type arrangement, then I think we would have a superior product, because you wouldn't have the fading issues, the sky fading issues. You would either have audio or you wouldn't. It would either be there or gone, you know, on or off, which is your typical digital way of doing things. The problem is in the transition period, I just don't know what's going to come of the transition period.
You were showing me the mask.
Yeah, this is a mask. This is the station running iBock, and you can see here's your analog signal, and out here at 5 kilohertz, where it would normally drop off, you've got these, and you can see the audio is continuously dropping in level. Well, the mask comes out here and says you have to be down so far, which yes, it is, and it meets it.
Yeah.
But the problem is that signal is there constantly.
That's continuous energy.
And that's
yeah.
the hiss that everybody hears.
Yeah.
And it's sort of hard to visualize a spectrum analyzer plot on a...
So is the iBock carrier from 5 kilohertz to 10 kilohertz out on both sides?
Yes.
Okay. I can go out either side out to 5 kilohertz, and that'll be my analog audio. And then from 5 kilohertz to 10 kilohertz are these two digital carriers, and
correct.
That's what everybody's hearing.
Yes, yes.
And so you, to keep the analog from interfering with the digital, you have to filter very steeply the audio at 5 kilohertz.
That's our audio filtered at 5 kilohertz. And you can see there's 700, there's 705, and you can see those hammer off incredible. Okay, then here is the signal running an IBOC carrier. You see, we're still within the mask.
Yep.
You gotta be 25 dB down, which it is, but it is, you know, a constant.
What would you say then to the people who are writing in saying, I'm listening to the tests on WOR and WLW, and they're gonna destroy the band with this hash that we hear everywhere?
Keep it up, literally.
Keep commenting?
Keep commenting. It's their band as much as it is anybody else's. And I think there are some, to be quite honest, I think there are some things that need addressed with the nighttime coverage, be it reduced injection levels. That's one of the things we're looking at, is reducing that digital injection level. I mean, I want a good product, but not at the cost of the band. I think thanks to a couple people, one of them being Randy Michaels, even though a lot of people will shudder at this, I think he's probably been one of the best things to ever happen to AEM in the last 20 years. You know, he knew the band, he understood what's going on, and there's a lot of AEM stations that would still be losing money if it wasn't for him. So, I know that we want to move to the next level, but we also don't want to blow our toe off in the process.
Paul Jellison, Regional Engineering Services Manager for Clear Channel Communications. His comments on IBOC as we know it today. In future columns, we'll tour the famous WLW transmitters. For now, a reminder that we take mail at mark@durenberger.com. DurenBerger.com. Till next month, good listening, DXers. Thanks, Mark. And before we flip over to side two of this tape, I'd just like to talk about some rather frustrating times here in the past 30 days here at the DX Audio Service. Just as I was completing January 2003's edition, putting everything away for the month, and I was starting on the all-radio edition, preparing the master that I used to duplicate the tapes, we took one hell of a hit here on the power grid and caused quite a stir. My neighbor lost a TV and a microwave, and my other neighbor lost a garage door opener and his dryer. Here in my sheetrock announce booth, I took a major hit and lost several computers and some radio equipment, and I'm still discovering little things that just are not right. So anyway, what happened was is the audio editor that I used to do all my audio production on, it got nailed big time. Lost the NIC card, video card, but most important, two of the hard drives. The C drive, which contains the operating system and the programs used for editing. And then the D drive, which is, in my way of thinking, a little bit more important because that is all the National Radio Club stuff, all radio, DX Audio Service, you name it. Everything is on that particular drive. When the drives are plugged into a computer motherboard, they didn't even recognize. CMOS didn't even see a drive there. And I was pretty much crying and thinking that I was completely hosed. But two folks, which I'd like to acknowledge, came to my help, and I'd really like to thank them for it. First of all, Archie Hunter up in Canada. Thanks, Arch, for sending me back the MP3s of the January 2003 show, because those I really needed for my archives here to maintain a record of what we do. Thanks very much for those. Also to Kelly Prescott. Kelly, who you may have met at the 2000 National Radio Club Convention with his wife, Trina, Amby, his daughter, and then Inga the dog. Kelly is a Linux guru. Kelly is one of those people that is just simply amazing with a computer. And I was relating what had happened to me. he took the drives that I was going to basically toss in the trash and cry about, like I said, because all my material's on there. He was able to extract some of the data, and we're still working on getting some more stuff off there, particularly all radio. But he was able to retrieve like Phil Wayne's column, the jingles, liners, and some of the other stuff, which is just absolutely priceless. And I'd like to thank him for that. And I'll tell you what, it pays to have some good friends, doesn't it? To those of you who ordered All Radio Magazine prior to the crash, what we're going to do is we're going to send you out All Radio Magazine as soon as we get it put back together and retrieve as much as we can. If we can't retrieve it, we'll have to record some new material. But we're going to send you that magazine at no charge. And then the money that you paid, we'll just give you volume two for that. So we'd like to thank you for hanging in and being patient with us while we went through this turmoil. And to the rest of you, those of you who found out about what happened, thanks for your support. And hey, we'll get by with this. We'll get by and get things going. And Kelly and I are working on trying to get all radio extracted off this last drive here. Let's flip over to side two of the DX Audio Service and hear from Phil Wayne, who was almost lost into Bit Heaven.